Topic for today's Dharma talk is, why do you offer incense? But before Bhante gives a talk, let us look through three Dhammapada verses from which the talk stems from. And these are from Dhammapada verses 54 onwards. The perfume of flowers blows not against the wind, nor does the fragrance of sandalwood, tagara, and jasmine. But the fragrance of the virtuous blows against the wind. The virtuous man pervades every direction. This is from Dhammapada, verse 54. Sandalwood, tagara, lotus, jasmine. Above all these kinds of fragrance, the perfume of virtue is by far the best. Dhammapada, verse 55. Of little account is the fragrance of tagara or sandal, the fragrance of the virtuous, which blows even amongst the gods, is supreme. This is from Dhammapada, verse 56. And with this, we invite Bhante to share with us a talk on why do you offer incense. Bhante, please.
Why do you offer incense? Let's understand these three verses. Perhaps at the end of it, you would get the answer to this question. The first verse, na puppa gando pati vatameti na chandanang tagara mallikava satancha gando pati vatameti sabba disa sappuriso pavati. This verse has three statements. First, it says the fragrance of the flowers does not go against the wind. Fragrance of the flowers always go with the wind. This is the first statement. Second, it says, the fragrance of a virtuous person, it means virtue, go against the wind. This is the second statement. The third statement says that fragrance of the virtuous person go in every direction. So these three statements together give us some understanding of what virtue means here in a deeper sense of the word. Of course, when you look at the verse, it seems like very simple and straightforward. But it also has a deeper meaning, and that is what is important for us. As the first statement goes, the fragrance of the flowers go with the wind, not against the wind. Here, fragrance of the flowers symbolically represent sensual desire. The wind represent defilements. So if you get these two together, we can say sensual craving go with the defilements, flow with the defilement, not against the defilements. As we all know, fragrance of the flowers is pleasant, sweet smell. We like that smell. We experience this pleasant fragrance of the flowers through our nose. So this itself represents the entire field of sensual craving. Not only nose, we have other five sense faculties. With our eyes, we like to see beautiful pictures, beautiful people, handsome people. Whatever pleasant, beautiful things are attracted to our eyes, we are always looking for them. With our ear, we always want to hear pleasant, nice words. With our tongue, we always want taste, flavors with our body, we need pleasant touch sensation. So when we say the fragrance of the flowers, we should understand it is not only the nose, but also the other five sense faculties. By nature, as ordinary human beings, we have strong sensual craving to gratify our five sense faculties. So, but gratifying five sense faculties nicely flow with our defilements. Gratifying sensual faculties is not going against the defilements, but they flow with the defilements. Now, this sensual craving has two aspects of it. One aspect is attraction. The other aspect is repulsion. Both produced by sensual craving. Whenever our five sense faculties come across beautiful, pleasant, favorable type of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch sensation, strong craving, strong desire will arise, and we will be attracted to them. Like the earth pulls everything towards its center, we will grab this sensual pleasure. We have self-centered blind craving and attachment. This is how the living organism functions. We are attracted to these things naturally. It's a strong craving. This is called attraction. The Pali word we can use as lobha. However, we also have this strong aversion, repulsion towards whoever prevent our desire, whatever condition prevent our desire, whatever obstruct us achieving that sensual pleasure. So, towards those people, towards those conditions, towards anything that go against our sensual craving, we produce repulsion, hatred. It's the opposite kind of power. Not only that, whatever unpleasant, unfavorable, disagreeable sight, sound, smell, touch sensations, and when these unpleasant, unfavorable sense stimulus come, we naturally repel them, we push them away. And that is also another side of the sensual craving. So if you were to take this fragrance of the flowers, is both this attraction and repulsion. They go with the wind, means go with the defilements, nicely flow, not against the wind, not against the defilements. Now let us take some examples to understand it. When a strong craving, desire arises in our mind to gratify our sensual pleasure, what is the easiest thing to do? Is to just to gratify it. So when you gratify that desire, you feel comfortable. You feel ease. When you gratify your craving, you feel comfortable. And that is very natural. So, of course, as long as you gratify this sensual craving moderately, with understanding, without harming, that is sensual pleasure. And that's all right for ordinary human beings, for ordinary Buddhist followers, that's perfectly all right. But sometimes people, they gratify these sensual pleasure in evil, wicked, immoral, unwholesome way. If you were to understand this statement in according to the Dhamma, what it means here, sensual craving. Here sensual craving means both hatred and attachment both. In other terms, attraction and repulsion, both aspects, they go nicely with the defilements. Suppose you get angry and agitated. What is the comfortable thing to do? When you are angry and agitated, the most comfortable thing to do is to shout at someone or scold somebody. Because when you scold somebody, you feel comfortable. You feel ease. Or you might smash your computer on the floor. Later you might regret, but at that moment you feel a bit relieved. So anger or frustration, this is of course repulsion, go with the defilements. It doesn't go against the wind. It goes with the wind. It goes with the defilement. So in other terms, the craving, sensual craving, go with the defilements. So fragrance of the flowers go with the wind. The second verse says, however, the fragrance of a virtuous person go against the wind. So what does it mean again? So if you take the wind as the defilements and the fragrance of here in fact the term the Buddha used is satancha. The term satancha means a good human being, a wholesome human being, a human being who follow the Dhamma. A sappurisa is another term. You might come across that term in next verse. Means a person who follow the righteous principles. This is a person who develop virtue. So fragrance of satancha, satancha gandho. Gandho means the smell or fragrance. Fragrance of a good human being is nothing but virtue. So virtues go against the wind, means against the defilements. Now, if you were to look at some of the examples, forgiving is a great virtue. Forgiving is a great virtue. What is the opposite of forgiving? It's taking the revenge. So when you feel hurt, when someone were to do something that you do not like, you feel hurt, you feel angry, and then taking revenge is going with the defilements, going with the wind. But forgiving is going against the defilements, against the current. So when you have virtue of forgiving, it means you are cultivating something against the defilements. So the virtue of, I mean the fragrance of the virtue go against the current of wind, the defilements. Loving kindness is a virtue. In your mind, when ill will arise, for example, towards somebody, and when someone were to do something nasty towards you, naturally you will get angry and ill will arise. So with ill will, if you were to do something again as a retaliation, and this is also flowing with the defilements. It goes with the defilements. It is not going against the defilements. But those people who develop the virtue of loving kindness, instead of harboring ill will, anger, and other resentful thoughts, they develop loving kindness. Let go the grudges. So it goes against the wind, against the defilements. When we see someone who is well off than ourselves, better than ourselves, richer than ourselves, perhaps jealousy might arise. That is very natural. And you might do something out of jealousy. That is also perhaps natural. It flows well with the defilements. But the person who develops the virtue instead of jealousy, we'll have appreciative joy, mudita. And that person is going against the wind, against the defilements. Naturally, when greed arises in our mind, we become stingy, we become narrow-minded, we would like to grab things for ourselves, we do not want to share. This is natural. When the greed arises, it flows with the defilements. We become greedy, stingy. Generosity is a virtue. But the person who develops generosity has to go against the defilements of greed. So it goes against the wind. So the Buddha says here, the virtue, the fragrance of the virtue go against the wind, means the virtue go against the defilement. So if you were to take the two statements here again, the fragrance of the flowers go with the wind. This is a general meaning. The deeper meaning of it is sensual craving go with the defilements. The second statement, the fragrance of the virtue go against the wind. And the meaning here, virtue is always against the defilements. Third statement, sabba disa sappuriso pavati. A virtuous person's fame, his name will spread every direction. So, as far as I can understand and perceive, as far as I believe many other human beings also perceived, in the known history of the mankind, there was no one compared with the Supreme Buddha in terms of great virtue, great concentration, and great wisdom. These three things, there's none. And all sensible human beings who would like to judge it, would like to experiment through with the available data in humankind, they will agree with this. So the Buddha is the greatest human being who cultivated the virtues to the maximum level. So the fragrance of the Buddha spread far and wide in the world. In the past, throughout entire Asia, the fragrance of the Buddha's virtue spread peacefully in every direction. Not a single drop of blood was shed in the name of Dhamma propagation. Dhamma spread peacefully because Dhamma is the fragrance of the Buddha. So wherever Dhamma exists, that is the fragrance of the Buddha. Like bees naturally attracted to the flowers, those people who incline to the Dhamma will be naturally attracted to the Buddha. So the Buddha's fragrance spread every direction, even today. And it is spreading every nook and corners of the world. So the virtue of a good human being, the great virtue of the Buddha, is spread far and wide in the world. When people come to know the Buddha's great virtue, by naturally, they want to learn his Dhamma. In Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, we come across about a king. He heard about the Buddha's great virtues. Having heard about the Buddha's great virtues and his Dhamma, he had great confidence. The Buddha is fully enlightened. Dhamma is well expounded. So out of this great confidence, he thought, if I were to follow his teaching, for sure I can become fully enlightened too. So he gave up his kingdom and became a monk. and he started traveling from his kingdom to see the Buddha. So the, if you were to read the sutta, you might come across entire incident. However, he met the Buddha on the way in a potter's house, in a guest room, and over there Buddha taught the Dhamma and he realized the Dhamma. So at what I wanted to tell you here, so there were such human beings, after hearing the great virtues of the Buddha, they simply attracted to the Buddha and they follow the Buddha's teaching and become enlightened. There are many such incidents. Another famous incident is the millionaire Anathapindika. The moment he heard the Buddha's great virtues, his entire body and mind started to have a kind of energy. So throughout the night he could not sleep at all. So he woke up many times during the night to see the time, because he wanted to go and see the Buddha. At the end, he left his house to see the Buddha when it was still the mid of the night. So you can read this story also. So this is again when some of the human beings, when they encounter the great virtues of the Buddha, they're inspired by this and they encounter the Dhamma and become the followers of the Buddha. Okay, shall we go to the next one? So the next one is still says, Chandanan takarangwa api uppalangata vasaki etese gandha jatanang silagandu anuttaro. He again says, the fragrance of the flowers like sandalwood, tagara, lotus, jasmine. The word tagara is used to mean a sort of flowers. These flowers are big flowers. They come in various colors. There's a term for them, rhododendron. Perhaps maybe I pronounce it slightly differently. You might check it out. Rhododendron family. So tagara is used to mean those flowers and any substance from that flowers. It's a kind of perfume which was very famous in the time of the Buddha. So these are the famous perfumes in the time of the Buddha. So here this verse says, so the fragrance of the flowers and all these perfumes, among all these fragrance, the fragrance of the virtue is the greatest and supreme. So Buddha says, among all the fragrance in the world, flowers or sandalwood or anything else, there is a kind of fragrance which is supreme. What is that fragrance? That is the fragrance of the virtue. It means if a human being cultivate virtues like compassion, goodwill, tolerance, understanding, loving kindness and many other such virtues, such a human being is more fragrant than those flowers and sandalwood. So here the question comes, why do we offer incense to the Buddha? So incense itself is a kind of fragrance made of sandalwood. Now there are three reasons why we do it. First of all, we recognize in the known history of the humankind, so far that we did not come across any human being who cultivated the virtues to that level as the Supreme Buddha. So Supreme Buddha is the most virtuous person, and his great qualities has come under 9 labels, what we call 9 great virtues of the Buddha, and he is the perfect embodiment of the great virtue. So we first of all recognize Buddha is the greatest human being who developed the virtue to the highest sense of the word. So incense represent the virtue. So when you think of the Buddha and his 9 great virtuous qualities, what will happen to us? When you think of the great qualities of the Buddha, like Itipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddha, when you recite it with mindfulness, with understanding and deep contemplation of the great virtues of the Buddha, if you were to do that, naturally, great respect, reverence will flow in your mind. When you think of the Buddha's great virtue, we have a lot of respect in the mind. This respect naturally come out. Now, we express our respect and reverence by offering incense. So when you offer a joss stick, or when you offer any kind of incense, and this is the symbol, this is the mark of your respect. This is the simple reason why in funeral places, especially in Chinese funeral customs, when you go there, you will be given a joss stick. It's not a ritual in that sense of the word, that you are believing something ghostly or something supernormal, but simply this is the gesture, a symbol of showing your respect. So when you offer a joss stick in a funeral place, when somebody is dead and gone, you simply reflect the virtue of that person and offer the incense as a mark of showing your respect. So in the same manner, when it comes to Buddhist practice, the incense represent our respect. Third important point, when you offer the incense, you make the aspiration. What is the aspiration? First, you recognize Buddha is the supreme human being who is full of great virtue. When you think of it, you have respect, so you offer the incense. Incense symbolically represents the virtue. This is also symbolically representing your respect. And at the same time, you make the aspiration, like the Buddha, may I also have the ability to cultivate the virtue. I follow his footsteps. I follow his Dhamma. So whoever human being follow his footsteps, follow his Dhamma, will end up being virtuous. Not a single human being who follow the Buddha's teaching will become wicked or evil. There's no way. There's no way true follower of the Buddha to become wicked human being. There's no way. So if anybody were to justify the evil, wicked, immoral action in the name of the Triple Gems, that person is doing something which is not relevant to the Dhamma, which is not applicable to Triple Gems. So whoever follow his footsteps, and the Dhamma will be a virtuous human being. So this is the reason why we offer incense. Okay, shall we go to the next one? Okay, this verse says something again very remarkable and very, very important for us. Appamatto ayangando yayantagara chandani yochasila vatangando vati devesuttama. Again, talks about the fragrance of the flowers and the sandalwood and this tagara, these perfumes which were famous in the time of the Buddha. And then it says, among all these fragrances, the fragrance of the virtuous human beings can spread into the heaven. These fragrance of flowers and sandalwood, they can remain only in this world. They will flow with the wind. But the fragrance of the virtuous human being can go to the heaven and will be blown among the divine beings. What does it mean? When we say the fragrance of the virtuous human being is blowing in the heaven, means divine beings, devas, are talking about these virtuous human beings. Human being can develop the virtues to the extent even the God will respect. This is what we teach in Buddhism. The reason again, Buddhism is not a God-centric religion, it is a human-centric religion. Buddhism arose on the earth and it travels to the heaven because the Buddha's teaching spread into the heavens. Among the divine worlds, there are divine beings who are followers of the Buddha. We call them Sammadittika Deva, means the divine beings who have the right vision to Four Noble Truths. So remember, when this is said, it's a very important point here, means Buddha never made human beings inferior to divine beings. So human beings, we have got potential capacity to be awakened. We have the opportunity to cultivate the great virtue, great concentration and wisdom, and go even the limit of the devas. Second important point also need to be noted here. As Buddha teach, human beings who cultivate virtue, after the death, they will become devas or humans. Not a single human being who cultivate virtue will go downward. So these devas, for example, and they recognize the virtue of the human beings because they themselves know these virtuous human beings eventually after the death, they will appear in their realm as divine beings. So this is quite natural for them. So it means the fragrance of the virtuous human beings will be spread into the divine realm. Now, before I end up this talk, I also would like to say another few words about the incense. Even though some people think that incense, of course in every Buddhist school, incense being used in daily practice, in rituals, however different Buddhist traditions might use them slightly differently. Using the incense in religious rituals goes back to the beginning of the human religions. Before Buddha appeared in the world, Hindu priests in ancient India used to use incense in their religious ceremonies because they recognize the smell of the incense create a kind of environment, kind of religious emotions. They also use the incense to create such environment and atmosphere, then their rites and rituals are linked with the gods, and then this is a kind of bridge to bring the god into present existence. However, when Buddhists use incense, we do not have such belief or such practices. Why do Buddhists prefer to use incense is, as I mentioned earlier, it is for three reasons. One is, incense symbolically represent the virtue and respect. So Buddha is the greatest virtuous person, and then by offering incense, we pay our respect to him, and also we aspire to be virtuous. This is the first meaning of it. Second, in your room or in your shrine, before you do your meditation or before you do your chanting or any other religious practice, if you were to light up incense, it might create a kind of environment which might help you in your concentration. For such reasons, Buddhists use incense. However, it is not compulsory. So what I would like to emphasize here, if you would like to use incense in your shrine, that's perfectly all right. But just one is enough. No need to use so many. Sometimes we have been to some houses when we were invited for religious occasions, and sometimes they burn many sticks of incense and the whole house is full of this toxic smoke. You remember, this is carbon dioxide. It's very unhealthy. Of course, we must use them in moderation. We must also think of our environment. And this might also contribute for global warming. So be moderate and the Buddhists, we are following the Dhamma to dispel the ignorance and become wiser. If that is the case, then get rid of your illusion. Incense cannot bring any God to your presence. Incense is used, as I mentioned, symbolically, and also, of course, it might create a kind of environment for us. For such reason, you use it moderately. Just one is enough. And the other one is, use it with care. It means incense can create fire. So if you want to use incense, you use it and make sure when you leave the house, you put the fire off, or you make sure that it will not create any fire. So this goes with not only with the incense, also with the light. So perhaps maybe you have noticed that we use only very small incense here, just only one. So this is also to encourage those who come here, just to encourage at home to use only one. So this is what I wanted to tell you regarding the use of the incense. Well, if you have got any questions, we can spend a bit of time as well.